you, honey, if I do. I can't say I don't love you, baby, honey, if I do. I can't speak those words, no, no, baby, they ain't true. So, lover, come back and blame it all on me. Lover, come back and blame it all on me. Lover, come back and blame it all on me. Lover, come back and blame it all on me. Lover, come back and blame it all on me. Well, I can make the same mistakes as the last. Can't make the same mistakes, babe, as the last. My mind is rambling, oh honey, I'm gonna slip right through the cracks. So I say, lover, come back and blame it all on me. Lover, come back and blame it all on me. Lover, come back and blame it all on me, yeah. No, 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 lover, come back. Lover, come back, no, no, no. I don't love you unless I do. Well, I can't say I don't love you, baby, unless I do. I can't speak those words unless they're true. So blame it all on me. Lover, come back and blame it all on me. Lover, come back and blame it all on me, yeah. Lover, come back and blame it all on me. Lover, come back and blame it all on me.
I'm here today with AJ Fullerton. This blues roots singer, songwriter, and guitarist was raised in Western Colorado and just released his debut CD titled Calamath. We'll be talking about this project and everything else AJ has going on. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Allie.
So I actually wanted to start by talking about all the awards you've won from the Colorado Blues Society. In 2016, you were awarded with Best Slide Guitar, Best Acoustic Act, Best Young Performer, Best Solo Duo Act. So that's a lot of awards.
I also won the solo bracket for the Colorado International Blues Challenge competition.
Oh my gosh.
And on then, top of that.
I know, you've just been running around winning awards.
Well, in my spare time.
Yeah. So, which I think probably makes a lot of people in Western Colorado pretty proud, because there are quite a few people out there who've been sort of following your work since you were 14.
It's about when I started playing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the neat thing is that I never really started out trying to achieve any sort of, you know, competition goals. I've been doing music for all these years just because it's a something I find a lot of fulfillment in, and something that I like a lot. And then to be presented with these awards and accolades is sort of just it's an honor, really. It's very flattering, and but it's also kind of nice because it's sort of a way of showing maybe I'm going in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. A little encouragement.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're 22 now, right?
Yep. I had my birthday back in March.
And I think it blows people away when someone so young can play the blues. Was there ever a point where you felt like you weren't qualified somehow? And I'm thinking maybe, too, it would just be the amount of exposure that you've had to seasoned performers, too. Did you ever feel intimidated or like?
Almost always, you know, whenever I'm around anyone that's got some really good chops or is well known as a musician, I always get a little bit kind of maybe timid is the right word, you know, because I have a lot of respect for so many of these artists that have been doing it much longer than me. Growing up in Montrose, my exposure to live music, at least anything other than locally, was very limited. I think I maybe saw my first concert of an out of town act when I was like 15, you know, maybe 14, something like that. And a lot of my influences came from listening to the music my parents had around the house. A lot of their vinyl, a lot of classic rock, a lot of, you know, the stuff that maybe, you know, the generations a couple prior before me really listened to. And then, of course, my dad really turned me on to a lot of my main influences, a lot of the blues. Mississippi John Hurt, John Lee Hooker, B.B. King, Stevie Ray. It goes on and on. I just sort of always grew up hearing that. And you're totally right. For a long time, I did not feel qualified. I felt specifically unqualified to even try. And then when I finally did, just a few years ago, kind of almost unwittingly take a crack at it, it seemed to really catch on. And I just decided to go forward with it.
Did you ever get to meet some of those people that you admired, and did they give you any words of wisdom or just inspire you even more?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's too many to count, but specifically in the world of blues, I learned to really play the electric style of blues from a guy named Kapori Woods, who lived in Montrose for a couple of years, right near the end of the time when I was living there. And he let me sit in with him and learn kind of how to do the frontman thing for a band and how to play electric. And I mean, gosh, there's so many guys. I actually had the chance to meet Taj Mahal, and we talked for a little while, and he told me, you know, keep your ears open to all kinds of music, all styles, which is something that I've been embracing a lot lately, you know, jazz and funk and zydeco and Creole music and rock. And I mean, it's a beautiful landscape of all these different things. And then just recently, I was down in Mississippi and Tennessee doing some playing. I was at the Clarksdale Juke Joint Festival back in April, and I got to hear some of my favorite acts. There's a guy down there named Sidell Davis, who is a 80 or 90-something-year-old blues player who is one of my favorite guys. He's very authentic. And just meeting people like that and being around that really kind of gives you a better understanding of sort of the authenticity of the genre.
So you're part of the lineup for the 2017 Telluride Blues and Brews Festival, and this is taking place just coming up here, the 15th, 16th, 17th, up in Telluride. And so this will be your fourth time performing at this festival, and you're going to be sharing the stage this year with Stud Ford and Nick Clark, who you've definitely been playing with a lot. Can you tell me about Stud and Nick? They seem to be your main collaborative partners these days.
Most certainly. And actually kind of on the down low, so to speak, quote unquote, we actually have another unnamed guest coming to sit in with us. We have the bass player for Otis Taylor, Todd Edmonds, who is coming to shortly after we got booked. He reached out to me actually during the recording session of my newest album, and he volunteered to come and back us. So it'll actually be a four-piece, which is sort of counterintuitive. But, yeah, Nick and Stud are a couple of my great friends. I've known Nick for a couple of years now. If you don't know Nick Clark, he's my age. We've been the best of friends for the few years we've known each other. He's a world-class harmonica player, singer-songwriter, guitar player, and just an incredible musician overall. Stud is a... Man, there's a lot of words to describe him. He is an incredible drummer and percussionist. He's from Greenville, Mississippi. If you look at his bio or his information, he's actually the grandson of Mississippi blues artist T. Model Ford. And he toured with him for a long time until he died. And he toured with the North Mississippi All-Stars for a while. And I feel very lucky to play with both those guys. They're really top-notch, top-notch entertainers and musicians.
And how do you like Blues and Brews? Because they obviously like you. Can you just talk a little bit about your relationship with that festival and sort of what you've been able to get from it?
You know, it's a very, very interesting long story, because growing up in Montrose, I've always heard about the festival, you know, because it's kind of the festival in your backyard, so to speak, being so close. I didn't realize kind of how big a deal it is, you know, both in the state, but also kind of more on a national, international plane. I mean, people come from all over the world, not just to play at it, but to attend it. But funny enough, I never really had any in with them, so to speak. I think I went my first time in 2010 when B.B. King was playing there, and George Thorogood, and Derek Trucks, and a whole lot of the Jimmy Vaughn was there. A whole incredible lineup. That's sort of when I got it in my head. It's like, I want to play at this someday. I think I just started guitar maybe like 2 or 3 months in. I'm just thinking at that moment, someday I'm gonna be on that big stage in front of all these folks, you know. But it wasn't until a number of years later I actually first got my foot in the door by entering into this amateur competition they hold every year, and I lost. Then lo and behold, the next year I think I got asked to play with my band at the time, doing a small like Thursday night thing. They kind of give you little opportunity by little opportunity. Nothing's just given to you, you know. It wasn't like I got called up saying, hey, come play the main stage next weekend, you know. But and then the year after that, I played a few more little things, some solo duo stuff, and did a morning thing. And then this year is really the first year that they actually took a pretty big chance on me and gave me some really cool slots. We're playing on the blues stage, as well as I think we're one of two or three bands doing a campground session, which is great because it's over by the waterfall. And we're also doing a late night slot over at the Moon on Saturday night.
It's because you're good. That's why. No, seriously, because I think sometimes you can tell the difference between somebody who is just giving you a chance and somebody who thinks that you're going to pull in an audience, you know, so you cross over into that place where it's like, no, we're having him play because he's good.
I guess that's a nice feeling. You never in this industry want to feel like people are just, you know, patting you on the back. It's kind of a nice feeling to feel like you've worked for something.
So what are your goals? What do you want to do with this music career? What are some of your highest aspirations, I guess?
My biggest aspiration career-wise is to never get a real job. And I'm doing all right so far.
Nice.
In all seriousness, really, it's a funny thing because there's the career goals from a business standpoint, but there's also just artistic goals. My taste and what I see myself doing musically has changed a lot over the years. It's always sort of a short-term goal, long-term goal thing. And right now, the short-term goal is just getting this new record out there. I just dropped a new record just about 2 weeks ago, something like that, week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And so far, it's been getting some phenomenal reviews. And right now, I'm just trying to bend people's ear over and see if they like it.
Well, let's hear some of it. I want to start off by playing the title track, Calamath. And can you tell me something about this song and what the title, because you say everyone's mispronouncing it.
Well, it's funny. The title of the song and the album, Calamath, is actually an interesting word because it's, to my knowledge, only a street in Denver. I don't know if I did some research and I couldn't find any other precise meaning for it, but we found this word that just really resonated with me and kind of where I was at the time, my life experiences. And musically, the song is actually sort of a tribute to a certain subsect of hill country blues out of Mississippi, specifically a guy named Othar Turner, who does this sort of fife and drum music, really sparse, really spacey, rhythmically sort of influenced. And I was lucky enough to get Othar's granddaughter to play fife on this track. So
very cool. Okay, here it is, right off the brand new CD from AJ Fullerton. This is Calamath.
a misguided heart. I don't think so, but I can't think so. I can't think about you. I don't think so, but I can't think so. It's hard to know what's true.
And that was Calamath from A.J. Fullerton, and he's here in the studio with me today. So I was listening to this whole CD, and it's excellent. I'd never really heard blues songs that had anything to do with Western Colorado, actually. Maybe I just haven't listened to enough music, but I'm wondering how this part of the state growing up here maybe inspires the blues.
Well, that's a really deep question, and it's something that I thought about a lot, you know, because growing up here as an only child, you know, living kind of somewhat isolated from the outside world, I spent a lot of time at home, a lot of time listening to records, and I did kind of think a lot, like, you know, how can I relate to this music that I love so much in a way that's authentic, you know, because it's easy to get up and play, you know, your favorite Muddy Waters song or whatever, you know, do that thing. And maybe try and kind of cop their style. But if you're not really doing music that's true to you, you're sort of doing it a disservice as an art. And I think the only explanation I've kind of come around to is that a lot of this blues, roots, Americana, I like to call it progressive roots. That's sort of the thing. This album's kind of a progressive roots, blues rock mm-hmm. sort of thing. A lot of that style of music is really just it revolves around telling people stories about your life and just presenting it in a pretty simple, authentic way, you know. A lot of the Delta blues, Chicago blues, Piedmont-style blues, Texas blues, even bluegrass and folk music, a lot of it's just people telling stories about their life and just expressing what's in there. And I feel like, you know, maybe not so much my life experiences could be compared to those of maybe a sharecropper or, you know, a person imprisoned in the Deep South. But that sense of honesty and wanting to portray things about your life is a common thread.
I want to talk about a song that I thought was sort of moving and made me conjured up this area to me a little bit and just it got me a little bit. And that song is Worried Mind.
Well, that's one song that I feel like a lot of people can relate to. It's I do a lot of driving, obviously, in my line of work. But the whole idea or the whole mood of that song was that feeling you get if maybe you're on the road and you're waiting for someone to contact you, or maybe there's something in your mind you just found out about, maybe a major life event, a death or an accident or something, and maybe your mind is somewhere other than when you are, where you are at that moment.
I'm here with AJ Flerton. That was the song Worried Mind. I want to hear one more song off the new album. This one is called Wish I Was in Heaven Sitting Down. And this one will get you out of your chair probably. It's a really rocking number.
Yeah, this is actually the one song on the record I didn't write. It's a traditional tune. It's in the style of an old field holler or a quasi-spiritual song. And the funny story behind it is we never planned to put this on the record. We were just in the studio, and I think we were about to go to lunch, and my drummer, Stud Ford, was just playing this groove, and I think we played it once or twice at a show, and we just kind of said, you know, you want to just cut a track and see if it sounds good? And so just right before we took some time off for the day, we, I think, did one take of this, and it came out pretty cool. It's kind of a different arrangement from the original, more somber rendition of it, and we've got a really special harmonica player, a guy named Brandon Bailey, who is featured on this track. He's from Memphis.
And, awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Thanks for being here, AJ.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Heaven sitting down. I wish I was in heaven sitting down.